Want to thank Marianne and Sonny for changing our altar. Many of you have seen in the last few weeks we've had candles with a post with barbed wire around it. This last weekend we had two funeral services here, one on Friday, one on Saturday. Friday for Herb Noji and Saturday yesterday for Lily and Hirano. And so we had to take all of that off. And so when we got back to the sanctuary, Marianne said, we're going to do a modified version of what we'd done before, because it was very complicated to put it all together. And so they created this. And these are rocks. Now, where are the rocks from? We used it for something. What did we use it for? Do you remember? VBS, that's right. So we repurpose things here at this church, and so those rocks were used for VBS, and now they're a part of, Marianne said, this is our wilderness. And so I said, well, thank you for doing that. So I want to lift up that appreciation to Marianne and Sonny for that. To become a minister in the United Methodist Church, you have to go through what's called the ordination process. So you go through schooling, and that's one piece of that. But at the same time, you go through what's called the ordination process. In school, you take the classes, you get the grades, and you do your best to... Well, I did my best to keep my GPA up and wasn't always there. And then the other thing that you had to do is you have to go through the ordination process through the church. And so you were interviewed first at the district committee level, and then you were interviewed by the Conference Board of Ordained Ministry. And both of them are very rigorous. If you want to know how rigorous it is, ask Reverend Jeannie. She will tell you, she and Reverend Deanne will tell you that it's very rigorous. You sit in a little circle with other folks who ask you hard questions, and you have to try to provide answers that help folks to know that you are called to ministry and desire to follow that call that would lead you into service in the United Methodist Church. When I started the ordination process, I had a little bit of trouble, as you might guess. It was not always the easiest thing, lots of hard questions. But the thing that was most interesting about it was, as I was going through the process, the one thing that they pointed out to me that I actually had a little trouble identifying, but was very helpful, was that I had trouble using Orthodox Christian terminology. They said, you describe it well, but you don't like to use the words. Why is that? And so then I had to think about that, and then I came back to them and I said, you know, the reason why I don't use that Orthodox terminology is because I remember it being used as a weapon in conservative churches. And I didn't like the way that it was used, so I just don't use those words. I use other words, and I describe it and the process of it, but I don't like using those words. And what the board said to me that was really helpful is they said, you know, you need to understand that those words are connected to tradition, history, the Bible. And so in many ways, those words come to you with a very important context. But your job is to be able to articulate and define them in a way that you feel and that you are called to do. So don't take the words as they are being articulated to you. Rework those words so that they mean something different. They express something different. You know, like I would hear the word evangelism. And evangelism most often just means sharing of the good news. And yet I heard that in conservative churches as my good news is better than your news. And so you need to take my good news or else you're on the wrong path, right? Or I would hear words like salvation, and that word was a loaded word for me because salvation, while a part of the Christian lexicon, it's a part of the language that we use, at the same time, the terminology of salvation also had with it on the other side, which was damnation. And as I heard that in some contexts, that even the word salvation was used in a weaponized kind of way, it helped us to know who was in and who was out. And so for me, I didn't like to use those words. I would define them and use the terminology, but I wouldn't necessarily use the word. And basically what they said was, you have to come to a way to articulate that word and use it in a way that reflects your beliefs and who you are as a pastor and a person. And so that was very helpful for me. I had to really think about what those words meant, and I had to use them in a way that matched my experience, and know that as I continued to articulate it that way, I'd continue to grow in my understanding of those words. Now, one of those words was the word repentance. Repentance was a hard word for me to use because repentance always, in the context of Christian terminology, repentance always requires sin and the idea that we are separated from God. And the word repentance often made, when used in certain ways, can make you feel overly judged and in some ways depraved, that you are a bad person, separated from God and irredeemable. And so I wouldn't use that word repentance. I would describe the idea that we wanted to be near to God, but I wouldn't use the word repentance. But I had to find a way to use that word because it's a part of Christian terminology. We come into the season of Lent, and one of the words that we hear used is this word repentance. So then what is repentance then, and how do I understand it? And how is it that repentance can help us as we think about this journey through the wilderness? And basically what I think repentance is asking us to consider is this question. Are we on the right path to the destination that we seek? That really at heart is what repentance is all about. And what we are asked in those questions is to consider two things. What is our destination, and are we on the right path to get there? Now, George Harrison, the famous Beatle, said this once. He said, you know, if you don't know where you're going, any path will get you there. And in many ways, that's what I think is the challenge of repentance, is the idea that we take the time in self-reflection and self-assessment to look at both where is it that we are going and are we on the right path to get there. Now, the challenge of that that's so very difficult is when we think about it in that context, even thinking about that is a difficult thing. We find ourselves on the pathway that we are on, and sometimes we just assume that we've gotten there through choices that we've made and things that have happened to us, and we're on this path. But sometimes we have been walking the path so long and have gotten so used to the path that we can't even imagine going off of that path. I've talked to people before who have broken relationships in their family, and when you ask them why they have broken relationships, they sometimes can't even tell you why. All they can tell you is, this is the way that it's always been. And then you ask them why it is that it stays that way, and it becomes a source of pride and habit, but it doesn't come for any other reason other than, this is just the road I've been walking on for a long, long time. Do you know somebody like that? Or sometimes in the context of that, it's hard for us to determine what that destination actually looks like. So if we don't know the destination, we don't know how to get there. But ultimately, in the context of repentance, the idea of that destination is for us to live a life together with God. And as we think about those questions of both what our destination is and how it is that we get there and what path we would take, we realize that a part of the Christian journey is keeping those questions before us constantly in our lives. Through scripture study, through worship, through prayer, through what we share together in small groups, that we are constantly asking ourselves those self-reflective questions. What's my destination, and how would I get there? And if we find ourselves on the right road, taking the courageous action to step off of the path that we are on and get ourselves onto the right path. Ultimately, that is what repentance is all about. Now, does it involve judgment? It certainly does, because God's way of understanding God's presence with us is that God has for us a way of being and living in this life. And when we are not coming into that, we recognize that there is a sense of judgment. Does it involve sin? It absolutely does involve sin. Places where we have fallen short of the glory of God and don't live the life that God has called out for us. But what we want to always context that in is that it's given to us, that this idea of repentance is given to us in the context of God's grace. That God's forgiving love invites us into this journey. And that ultimately, that the destination itself is not only what God is seeking after for us to be the right path, but also to know that it's every step on that pathway itself. And that as much as we might focus on the destination, we focus as well on the path because we realize that what ultimately God is calling us into in repentance is the idea that God desires us, that God longs for us. God wants for us to be with God. And God wants for us to enjoy this life and live a life of fulfillment and wholeness and healing that we might find in our lives, that we might feel a sense of joy and meaning and purpose. That ultimately is what repentance is seeking after. And it means sometimes getting off the path that we are on and getting on to a better path. Not an easy thing to do. Sometimes our lives are carved in a way that we feel like we can't change the path that we are on. But the challenge for us in thinking about this is how is it that we might find that we would hear God's call and move off of the path that we are on to get onto a better path? So how do we engage those questions for us? It's something that we do when we gather together in worship, when we pray, when we read scripture. We are mindful that as we continue to follow what God is calling us into, that it will constantly challenge us to reassess our lives, to look at who we are, to look at what we believe, to look at our relationships to others, to look at how we are living out this giftedness that God has given to us. Are we not just looking after blessings for ourselves, but seeing that as we are blessed, so we are called to bless others? That when we are living into that, what we will come to find is a sense of joy and purpose and meaning and wholeness that comes with walking on the right path. How will we know that we're on the wrong path? That when we are on the wrong path, what we come to feel is a sense of anxiety and frustration, that we might feel a sense of purposelessness, that we might find a sense of cynicism in our own life, and that we might see in our lives negative consequences and outcomes that affect us and break us down, that we would feel a sense of brokenness in that. And that ultimately God's desire for us is to know this love that calls us onto the right path. And when we are walking on that right path, know that each and every step brings joy to God and joy to ourselves. And we can come to experience the gift of God's grace in the midst of all of that. And so as we walk this wilderness journey, the call to repentance asks us to evaluate every single step of our lives and ask ourselves the question, are we on the path that leads us to a sense of joy and fulfillment, of peace and freedom and wholeness? Or are we on a pathway that has caused us to feel anxiety and frustration and fear, that has caused us to experience brokenness and hurt that deter us from living the life that God has given to us? And as we walk that path, the road to repentance calls for us to evaluate the road that we are on. Will it lead us to the place where God is calling us? And if it will not, for us to be courageous enough to step off of that path and find the path that God has chosen for us in our lives. When I was in college, there were two things that were probably my highest priority in life. Unfortunately, neither one of them was school, and so my father didn't like that. But my two priorities were playing basketball and then playing poker. And that was what we did. On Fridays, we would always do the same things. We would go to basketball practice, and we'd play basketball all night. And then we would gather together. And I was the one who lived in the apartment. Everybody else lived at home. I was the one who lived in the apartment. And so, of course, everybody came to my house. And so there would be this poker game that would happen every Friday night. And we would play poker till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then sleep through the weekend, get up to go to church, and then, you know, go through the rest of our week. And there came a point in my college life, especially as I was coming to the end of my college life and starting to really engage this idea that I was going to go to seminary, that I started to realize that these priorities that I had chosen, they were leading me down the wrong path. Now, there was nothing wrong with basketball nor poker. I loved being with my friends. It was a good time for us to be together. We shared in lots of fellowship. And the poker was really innocent. I mean, there wasn't a lot of money being exchanged. It wasn't a big deal. And yet somehow what I started to realize as I was walking on this journey that was ultimately leading me to seminary and ministry was that I was walking down the wrong path. And so I had to make a difficult choice, and that was, would I leave that group of people and start walking a different path, or would I stay on that pathway? And I was a little bit nervous about that because I didn't want them to think that I was being judgmental. Because if that's the road that they wanted to be on, then I wanted them to know that I was okay with that. I just knew that that wasn't the road that I wanted to be on because it was detracting me from what I thought was the direction that God was calling me to go. And so I started to move away from Friday night basketball and poker. And it wasn't an easy thing. I would get lots of calls from my friends to say, hey, how come you're not playing with us anymore? And aren't you going to play on the team anymore? And one of the things that really helped me was that when I went to seminary, I started working in, I was living in a town called San Pablo, just outside of Berkeley. I was living in a town called San Pablo, but I was actually working in San Jose. And so that actually helped me a little bit. I had to drive to San Jose every weekend to go to church, and so that was a good excuse that I could use for not playing basketball and not playing poker with the guys. But in reality, I recognized that that excuse was my way of choosing a different path. And I knew that it was going to be difficult because the road that I was on was actually one that I enjoyed. But I knew that road wasn't going to get me where I ultimately felt like God was calling me. And so it was necessary for me to make a choice. They kept playing poker, they kept playing basketball, and they enjoyed that. I think that they've moved that down to their children now, because now they're playing basketball through their children, and they still gather together for poker games and things like that. And I'm glad for them. I'm glad if that's the life that they've chosen, that it feels fulfilling for them. But I knew that that wasn't the path that I was called to be on. And so I had to make a hard choice. And I want to suggest to you all today that that's what this road looks like. That when we are on the journey of our lives, it's clear to us sometimes that we're on the wrong path. We have relationships in our lives that are broken, that cause us pain. We have habits that keep us from living fulfilled lives. We have choices that we make that sometimes send us down a path that we don't want to be on. And we recognize in that it's so difficult because we've carved out a certain path for ourselves that it's hard for us to imagine stepping off of that. But God's encouragement to us in this context of repentance is this idea of stepping off of the wrong path and finding that when we get on the path that was chosen for us, that we will find greater fulfillment than we have ever known, that we will feel a sense of joy in that. And it all comes out of the loving heart of God, that ultimately repentance at the end of the day is God's loving heart expressing to us a desire for us to know and be with God in every circumstance. That sometimes we think of repentance as coming from the judgmental God who is pointing down at us and saying that we are bad people. But I want to suggest to you all today that it comes out of a loving heart. It comes out of God's desire for us to live fulfilled lives each and every day of our life. And it's our desire to know that as we continue to walk that journey, we are drawing closer and closer to the God who loves us so much. And when we get into the presence of that God, we will come to find that our lives will be more fulfilled than we can ever imagine. And so this day, as we consider this idea of repentance, we do know it to be a concept that involves sin, separation from God, separation from brothers and sisters who are around us. We do know that a judgmental spirit from God comes from a place of God's love for us. But that ultimately we see both of those in the context of God's loving heart, a desire to set us onto the right path, so that we might come to know the fulfillment and joy that God has called us to in this life. And so in this season of Lent, my prayer is as we are walking through the wilderness that we would take these questions to heart. Where am I going? And am I on the right path to get there? And if we can hold those together and allow ourselves to make the choices that will get us onto the path that will lead us to the destination to which God is calling us, that we will come to find in this that we will pass through the wilderness and come to the light and the hope of a new day before us. As we come to the table this day, I always remind all of us that we have an open table in communion. And one of the things that's most important about that is that we are called to the table not because we are holy or perfect. We are called to the table because God loves us. And God accepts us just as we are. But it's important for us to know that when we come to the table and we receive this gift, that God's desire is to fill us with the Spirit that allows us both to know that we are accepted just as we are, but know as well that God desires to be the very best that we can be as those who follow Jesus. And so if we can come to the table in that spirit, my prayer is that we will receive a gift. And that gift coming to us from God will turn us onto the right path and allow us to experience that fulfillment that God desires for each one of us. We come to the table as broken spirits, knowing that it is God's desire to redeem us and to heal us so that when we walk away from the table, our desire is to be better tomorrow than we were today. And know that ultimately, God's desire is to walk with us and lead us to the right path that would lead us to the destination to which God is calling each one of us. Let's join together for a word of prayer. Loving God, we are so thankful and grateful that you are with us in this wilderness journey. We know that as we are walking the steps through that wilderness, that there are times that we will have to assess whether the steps that we are taking on the path that we have chosen is the right path. We know, God, that sometimes the path has been chosen for us. Sometimes it comes from the choices that we make. But ultimately, you desire to draw us near to you. And as we walk on the path that we are on, we sometimes come to find that we are on the wrong path. Be with us and bless us as we seek to have the courage to move off of the path that we are on, to take the path that you have laid out for us. And as we do so, O God, help us to know in each step that we are drawing nearer and nearer to your heart, and that ultimately it is your love that brings us to this place. And it is your desire for us to experience that love and the fulfillment that comes with it when we find ourselves fulfilling the calling that you have placed on each one of our lives. We pray, O God, that you would enable us to find ourselves in those questions. Where are we going? And are we on the right path to get there? And when you have searched our hearts and enables us to see clearly what is ahead, that you would help us to get on the better path, that would lead us ultimately to you and lead us to the gift of a new day. We pray these things, O God, to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.